Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Glass, and I praise God that we're able to be together again and share the word of the Lord and the good things of the Lord. On yesterday's broadcast, I had shared a passage in Luke, the second chapter, but I would like to, before I make reference to that again, let me share with you Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 6 through 8. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The Apostle Paul, in writing about Israel, states, "For being ignorant of the righteousness that God ascribes, which makes one acceptable to Him in word, thought, and deed, and seeking to establish a righteousness, or you could say a means of salvation of their own, they did not obey or submit themselves to God's righteousness. How true it is also for those who rebel against what God has directed us to do through His Word." Now, I began ministering yesterday on the subject of submission, kind of a bad word to a lot of people, but there is a principle that is beautiful and pertinent for us as Christians. There is a godly submission, and we can see this most perfectly exemplified in the life of Jesus. Again, I'll make reference to Luke, the second chapter, and I won't read that whole passage, but when Jesus was 12 years old, they had been in Jerusalem, and Jesus had slipped away. They thought He was in their company, and they'd gotten away from Jerusalem and found that He wasn't there, and they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking Him, and they found Him in the temple, and there were sitting in the midst of the doctors. He was hearing them, He was asking them questions, and everyone was astonished at His understanding and answers. But when His parents saw Him, they said in verse 48, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And He, Jesus, said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And they understood not the saying which He spake unto them. Verse 51 is significant, though. "And He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them." In other words, He obeyed His parents, His earthly parents. His father always was heavenly, and His mother, of course, was a virgin of Israel who was very much flesh, and it was this divine union that brought about our Savior, Jesus. And it says in verse 52, "Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Now, many have taken that verse 49, you know, "Don't you know I have to be about my Father's business?" And sometimes they have used that as a scripture to either to disobey God or, you know, to rebel against a godly authority that's been placed in their lives, parents, for example, or even scriptural authority as a pastor, or, you know, they leave their church when they differ with the pastor, when they don't want to stay faithful to what God has called them to do or to be. But Romans 13:1 states, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." Now, this chapter, of course, is concerning civil obedience to governments, to law, to the structures of society like the police, so I won't take the time to read that, but some have used that chapter to put over their ideas of submission. Well, let me say plainly that they don't need this chapter, for God speaks very clearly and absolutely in His Word about what our walk should be and how we should follow Christ. In Romans 12:8, we find, "Or he that exhorteth on exhorting, he that giveth, let him do it with liberality," or the King James Version says simplicity, and remember now, this is just preceding Romans 13:1 about let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. And in that 12th chapter, it says, "He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness," is talking about the various giftings. And that word, "he that ruleth," is a Greek word, praestimi, which literally means to stand before, to lead, to attend to, indicating care and diligence. And it is translated to rule with reference to a local church. 1 Timothy 5:17 reads, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who do labor in the word and doctrine." That's King James. The word rule is also translated from praestimi, meaning to lead, and so this verse correctly should read lead. Hebrews 13:7 states, "Remember them who have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow," as an example, of course, "who have spoken unto you the word of God, considering the end of their manner or conversation of life, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." And in this verse, rule, the word rule is translated from the Greek word hegeomai, meaning to lead. Let's look at verse 17 and verse 24 of that 13th chapter of Hebrews. Verse 17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." And then in verse 24, "Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy salute you." Well, that Greek word there is still means to lead. And I want to address, something that the enemy has taken. He's taken a godly concept, and this is something the body of Christ has experienced in years past, but in some cases, it is resident in the carnal nature, and we've had it not just, for, the last few years, but it's really been over generations, it's been over centuries, this concept of submission and control. And it's my desire to just simply state what God's heart is regarding it. He has given godly leadership, but He wants that leadership to be an example and not to control. There are those, for example, that say, "Well, I'm your covering," but that it's not in the Word. God spoke through Isaiah and told Judah not to make an alliance with Egypt against Sennacherib. And let me share this verse. "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me, and who cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin unto sin." I'm sharing out of Isaiah, the 30th chapter, and I'm going to read some more verses, but I want you to just hang with me for a while, because I'm establishing some things that it's important for you to really lay hold of and understand for yourself. What is the Spirit of God doing in this hour? Yes, there are principles of submission, but the bottom line is, and I'm just sharing this now, and I'll develop it more, but that godly leadership is established by God to point you to the Lord, not to make that you depended on them. God wants leadership to reveal Jesus and to make you dependent on the Lord and not on them. Anyway, let's go back for a little bit to Isaiah the 30th chapter, and the Lord is saying, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord. They take counsel, but not of me. They cover with a covering, but not of my spirit." And that's unfortunately a lot of these movements that's been in the body of Christ, the submission and shepherding movement. They've covered with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked of my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt, your confusion. What does Psalm 91 say? We should take our trust and abide under the shadow of the Almighty, not of the world system. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be a help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burden of the beasts of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and the old lion, the viper and the fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. Now go, write it before them in a table, note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, "See not," and to the prophets, "Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word," and I speak now the word of the Lord to us, we can apply this to our lives, "and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon. Therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of a potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it assured to take fire from the hearth and to take water withal out of the pit." Those are some strong words. But God is wanting us to understand fully where our dependence should be, where our trust should be. I must bring now this broadcast to a close, and I invite you to tune in tomorrow at the same time. The announcer will give you our mailing address. God bless you. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.